Actually, let's just start with, once I get these levels right, I'm not much of a tech person. Let's just start with what we were talking about last night, kind of the state of the Gulf and particularly migration and what you said about the speckled trout and the kills and just kind of what you've seen in the, it's been 6 months about, a little more than 6 months since the spill. And, you know, we just saw the gills of the shrimp, you know, just kind of a, and like you said, you and I feel, I'm the same way as a writer. I don't want to be inflammatory. I don't want to be overly sensitive, but you notice some things.
Yeah, tell me when those pillars are there.
And Holmes, also, is this okay, having this, or is that kind of in it?
I can sort of see it, but I can...
What's that?
Just this thing. I don't know if I... We're kind of double-dipping between radio and film here, so...
You know, now we're here 6 months into the oil spilling, and as I talk to some of the old-timer guys, I guess like myself...
Well, we're getting there, but not quite.
Yeah. You know, there's something's not right. You know, we're not catching speckled trout right now. It's hard for people to believe, but we ought to be catching 1,000 a day. You know, in October, when they come in and you have 10, 12 boats out fishing, which I don't have that either, but if I did, we would be catching 1,000 trout a day because we had so much calm weather and so much just beautiful weather to fish them. They're not there. I've seen 7 boats limit out since July. Unheard of. Well, at least 7 a day limited. You know, I can understand why we don't have business because of the perception of the oil and just the economy and, you know, different things. But not to have fish and not to have the birds working in the Barrier Islands that usually have are just loaded with birds, and there's no birds there. There's not a gull. There's not a tern. There's not a rosette spoonbill or egret or a crane or pelicans, nothing. They're completely barren. Why? You know, when you're out there every day and you see these things every day, you know when something's already. And just like when we were cleaning, I had 500 pounds of shrimp yesterday. We were cleaning, and I looked at the gills. You know, I could see the black inside there. It's not right. I don't know what it is, but it's not right. Sure enough, I got a call this morning, and another experienced guy called. He said, "Yeah, I was cleaning 100 pounds of shrimp yesterday. And I think I'm hypersensitive right now." But I said, "Let me tell you what happened." I said, "The gills were black." "That's right." I said, "It's not you and it's not me, and I'm glad, because you know, I try to be as open-minded about all this to make sure that I don't overstep and accuse someone of something that they didn't do, but things are not right here. I know what things are right and wrong here because I've been here so long, and I live outside. I know when it's going to rain. I know when it's not. I know everything about what happens outside, and it's not right."
And the fish kills are probably another example of something you haven't seen a lot over the years. But
I've got here for 30 years now, and the only fish kill that I've seen with my own eyes was Christmas of 1989. It wasn't here. It was all over the state, but where I saw it was in Catfish Lake over towards the La Rose area. So I went, and there was just millions of fish coming up to the top dead from the cold water. Now, here, we had a lot of depth then, and it didn't affect this area. This is the area that still had speckled trout then. So I've never seen other fish kills until this summer. I've seen 9 with my own eyes. 9 massive fish kills. Why?
And
why?
And you actually had film of one of them.
Oh, yeah. I just happened to have a videographer on the board, just on the boat, just riding around with them. And we came across one of them. And actually, they were dying before my very eyes. Right under my boat, they were coming up, starting to float up dead. And when we reported it, you know, we filmed it pretty extensively, and it was huge. I mean, it went as far as you could see. There was dead fish, and probably 30 foot off the banks that wide, as far as you could see.
So millions of fish.
Millions of fish. And the next day, they were gone. How? How did it disappear? And when the wildlife fishery went out there, it says lack of oxygen because they were trapped. I'm in a 22-foot boat sitting on top of them. I'm not trapped. Why are they trapped? They swim better than my boat. You know, they weren't trapped.
Right.
There might have been lack of oxygen, but the lack of oxygen this summer was from algae, and it's from naturally occurring microbes eating the oil. And when they do so, they grow and die. And when they do, they decay, and it sucks even more oxygen out of the water. and too full, you end up with not enough oxygen, and the depletion kills the fish. Now, you cannot blame it strictly on algae or anything else for that matter. For the 30 years it didn't happen that I know of, why'd it happen this year? I've seen algae bad, worse than it is this year, but I've never seen fish kills. Now I'm seeing fish kills. Now I don't see speckled trout. Now I don't see birds. Now, you know, we reported the black on the shrimp, and they said, well, yeah, that's black gill disease. It's a bacteria in them. Okay, I'll buy that. Why haven't I seen it before? Why is it, I got 500 pounds, and almost all of them have it.
Yeah.
Now, today we saw 100 pounds, and not all of them had it, but they had some in there that I could show you, but yesterday it was just everywhere, and why?
Right.
I've never seen it before, ever.
When we started talking last night, you actually started with some relatively good news. You said that one effect of the Mississippi staying strong was keeping, well, you explained it better than me.
We were very fortunate to have the Mississippi at at a high level. It was 9.3 almost the whole time the oil spill was actually ongoing. And for that to happen, you know, it's just unseasonably high, and 9.3, you know, normal that time of year should have been 3, 4, 5 feet max. It was 9.3, which puts a lot of water and a lot of hydrology through the river. And what it did, as it flushed through those marshes in Venice and like where my duck lease is on the east side where there is no levee, and it kept all that oil out, it flushed it and kept it flush. So now, not only do we have a lot of habitat and a lot of feed for the ducks, but it's not going to harm the ducks. The only ducks that I really am still afraid might be harmed are redheads, canvasbacks, scallop, you know, diving birds that's going to go out there. And I really feel there's going to be a lack of food for them, because as I see every time I ride around, I see the little fingernail clams and the surf clams. Millions of them dead all along the beaches.
I've seen that too.
Millions.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they feed on. That's their major snails and that. And if all that's dead from the oil, then they won't have a food source, and they'll get weak. And hopefully, they'll come into the marsh and feed with other birds. But if they don't, if they get out of their realm, they'll survive. But if they stay out there, if there's no food, they'll really, really have a hard time. Because there's still a lot of oil coming in. You know, even today, what is today, October 27th?
Yeah.
You know, October 1st through the 11th, we got 36,000 gallons out of Justin Bay Jimmy to the west of here. And I think there was 10,000 bags of tar balls in those 11 days alone. That's the last report I got.
Yeah.
So it's still bad. It's still coming. And you know, and it's just this morning, I got another report that when you emulsify the oil and the hydrocarbons, it makes it more conducive for algae blooms, and we'll have more and stronger algae blooms in the future, and we can expect more fish kills because of the hydrocarbons.
They just had a huge algae bloom where we left in Fort Pickens.
And Venice as well. You know, it was really bad this week. It's all algae, but only time will tell, and we will know. But as a self-proclaimed expert on the outdoors in this area, something's wrong, man. And I'm not a scientist, and I won't be able to put my finger on it and blame a certain thing. But I'm telling you, it's wrong, and it's going to be a long time.
I guess the other good, you know, the Mississippi being high and the hurricane would have been, I mean, I guess we're almost out of the woods, right? With the
I really hesitate to say, because last year we said that, and about 5 days before the season I got a hurricane and ruined a lot of my freshwater aquatic grasses because the salt water came in with a tidal surge and killed it all.
Right, so we won't say anything.
Right now, there's a smorgasbord of food. The marsh is just so lush and beautiful. And already in the last 3 weeks, the ducks are eating ponds into it. It's incredible how much they're eating. They just really... I've been watching them every day. As you can see, I'm doing decoys as we speak.
One thing we talked about, and I've got a lot of it down already, but just for the film is, and we just watched a film on it, but you said a real driving cause for you has been kind of freeing the Mississippi or redistributing the Mississippi and getting, you know, the flow back out. We were talking about all the things stacked up against it, not only oystermen, the shipping canals, lots of things are against it. Is there, I mean, I guess, can you describe what it would do, and if you see it as a real possibility, like that it's really going to happen?
You know, it's funny. Last weekend I was in Alabama and I was on Lake Jordan with some friends, and they said, "Oh, I wish those boats wouldn't go so close because they erode in this dock area for all these people."
Yeah.
And right then it dawned on me what the rest of the country thinks erosion is.
Yeah.
And I'll say it to the camera, you have not a clue.
Yeah.
When I speak of erosion, I'm talking about millions of acres of land going away.
Yeah.
Never to return.
Yeah.
Because the only thing can make it come back is the same thing that built it, and that's the Mississippi River. And right now, we have so many forces against us. It would be easy in Plaquemines Parish to do it. We have 60 miles of road and the river runs parallel throughout the whole parish, and those marshes do the same. And to reintroduce the river into different spillways, you know, maybe 2,100 cubic feet per second, I think is the number that I think would be sufficient to bring in the fresh water and to grow the freshwater aquatics and to keep the salt water at bay and start to rebuild Louisiana through those diversions and spillways. But we have the Army Corps of Engineers, which is a major stumbling block. We have the people that navigate the river and ships. You know, they're fighting it. The oyster fishermen are fighting it, but they're coming around because they know if it's not done, we will lose Louisiana. I've seen this area here 99% gone. It's absolutely gone. The water is on the levee. It used to be 6.8 miles of grass. Now the water's lapping at the levee. It can be taken back, but we're going to have to get the Army Corps of Engineers out of our way and start opening these spillways and letting this fresh water go. And not only that, but it's habitat for millions and millions of migratory birds and just animals in general that use these marshes. Now I see raccoons and otters on little spats of land that's not big enough to sustain life, and that's all they're clinging on to. Nobody thinks nothing of it, you know? But when somebody starts chopping down trees, they worry about a spotted owl, the whole world gets up in arms.
Yeah.
This is a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. Everybody in the world ought to know about it, and environmental groups ought to get involved and come in here and help me change it.
Well, you had a great image. I don't know if I left for a minute during the filming. I don't know if you said this with these guys. You had a great image this summer about the energy that you could see emanating off the marsh. You know, we talk about the we talk about the rainforest, and we talk about these other things, but here you can almost see it coming off.
I use these things as ammunition almost to bring other people, you know, because everybody only deals with their agenda.
Of course.
Well, if you're an environmentalist and your agenda is greenhouse gases, global warming,
right,
the dead zone in the Gulf, all great issues. I have them all. I've got it all for you here.
Yeah.
You know, because these prairie lands are so rich in grasses that they produce so much oxygen, you can literally see the energy welling up on them. It looks like it's on fire, but it's not, because you can see the heat and the oxygen coming off of them. So that's your O2 gases. And we've already lost 1 million acres. Now think about how many trees are equal to 1 million acres of grasslands.
Yeah.
Many, many. A tropical forest, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Then, when they say, well, the polar ice cap, as it melts, lets the water shine back the reflection of the sun for global warming. That's pretty blue water. What do you think this black water is doing when all of it turns from grass to water? It reflects it more, because black reflects more. And so we get more heat up there, so there's more global warming. So that's one. Now, the dead zone. Everybody said, well, we got to stop the nutrients, we got to stop the fertilizer. No, we really don't. All we have to do is let the river go through these marshes like it did for eons of time in Built Louisiana, and all the plant life will take and use those nutrients, use that leftover fertilizer, and when it comes out the other end, it'll be pristine, crystal clear water.
Because the marsh will do the flushing.
It will filter every bit of it, and I've showed many, many people already. Mm-hmm. When it comes out the other end, it's crystal clear, beautiful water. And if we take that and put that river through there like it's supposed to go, again, we will take those nutrients out the water and we will clean that dead zone up. Let nature do it herself.
Because there was a guy in New Orleans who was kind of being contrarian. He said, well, if there's one giant dead zone, why won't redistribution create, you know, dozens of mini dead zones? And I think you just answered that, because it would go through the marsh system.
Because in his mind, he's thinking of redistribution as putting that water through a canal right out into the Gulf.
Right.
No, you have to put it through the marshes and let the marsh grass filter it like it's supposed to do. That's how nature intended it to happen. You know, we think we're smarter than Mother Nature. We're not. We only outsmart her for our lifetime. Right. But she's coming to get us eventually, and she's coming to haunt us right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, to the navigation people, there's only 40% of the sediment that used to come down the river still comes. Due to the fact that we have locking dams on all the big rivers, and when the spring floods come, the sediment can't come anymore.
Right.
So the Mississippi River is the most engineered body of water in the whole world. But yet, it's engineered for 100% of the silt, and only 80%, 40% of it still comes. So we don't need that engineering anymore. We don't need the speed to keep the velocity there to scour the bottom like we used to. And even if it does, if it builds up a little on the side, we can use that to replenish the marsh. It costs to dredge it, but it costs to dredge it and put it in a hopper barge and bring it offshore like they've been doing for decades, which they cannot do anymore. We finally got a law passed October of 2009 that anytime you take and dredge up Mississippi River, any land in Louisiana, you have to put it back in the marsh. So we're making headways, but if they have pilots in those boats and they're making the kind of money that they make, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to bring a boat up to New Orleans, they ought to be good enough to keep it in the middle of the river. Don't you think?
Yeah, well.
If they can, I can.
Yeah, so.
So.
Well, yesterday morning we were in Alabama and we went out and saw kind of Oyster Reefs project, and they were building. And on a small scale, it's regrowing kind of the backside of a barrier island, because when the reef's there, it does the same thing you're talking about cleaning water. It rebuilds the beach grass on the far side. Do you guys have those projects going on down here at all, or is it not?
We have different projects. You know, we have some diversion projects, and we have some man-made beaches again. But when it comes down to it, the Mississippi River built Louisiana.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Everybody knows it. History proves it. And until we let her go back through her marshes, we won't have it again. We can build all the berms we want.
Right.
In 5 years from now, they'll be gone because we didn't reintroduce the river and start the aquatics in the process of building and growing marsh and building up sediments. Everybody wants instant gratification. Humans only think in their own lifetime. And what happens is while we're thinking in our 70 years, everybody wants to get and have that project started tomorrow, and then next year they want to walk right there. It's not going to happen. It took eons of time to build it, and if we don't start right now, my great-grandchildren will never see what I've seen and my ancestors saw.
Exactly.
And this part of Louisiana will not be here in 30 years. It'll be gone. This is a national treasure, the number one fishery in the United States, in the top five in the entire world, not to mention the seafood, shrimp, oysters, crab. This place is second to none, and we're letting it slip right through our fingers, and no one's saying a word. It makes me sick.
That's amazing. Really, that's great. And you know, just you said that about how other people, other countries think of erosion. I mean, other people in different parts of the country. You know, I, in my ignorance, was asking you this morning about salt versus fresh, because when I think of a marsh growing up in New England, I think of a salt marsh, basically. And just to put the geography together, so somebody from, I don't know, New York or whatever, Oregon, understands it, the Mississippi's coming down. It's feeding fresh water into freshwater marshes that then kind of gradually kind of segue out into the Gulf. And on one side, you said the east side, where there isn't a levee, is infinitely healthier.
It's just lush and beautiful.
And that's being fed the way, in your dreams, the west side would be fed.
You know, in before the levees in 1800, early 1800s, when we built them, the river would come up in the spring with the spring floods, and all that would overflow into the marshes. And it would overflow into them, but it had natural bias. It had a natural way. And if you look at swamps 60 miles from here where I have a house, and you look at an aerial photo, you can literally see from the river how that water spilled out into these fingers. And they'll have a slough in the middle, and on both sides will be a ridge where those sediments all settled. And they dug that little canal, and you'll have swamp on both sides. a ridge running through it with a slough in the middle. You could see it as plain as the nose on your face how that river went down into the marsh and into the lakes.
Right.
And that's how it all built. It just down here, there's natural bodies that still exist today. They're dry because we cut them off of the river. And they still have giant live oaks, and you can see the Indian mounds, if you will, because you can see the clams and a lot of pottery and stuff where the Indians use these ridges for their campsites and hunting grounds. And it's beautiful to see it because you go to live oaks, and then when you get in the lowlands, it started turning to cypress because they had the fresh water from the river going through there all the time until the river got just extremely low. And, you know, sometimes September, October would be the only time it would do that. But it would keep that salt water at bay. And now all those cypress trees are dead and gone. There's stumps left, but there's no. When I started guiding here, there was actually standing dead trees. Mm-hmm. All that's gone. And where you could see, plain as the nose on your face, where that levee is, you look this way, it's solid, beautiful live oaks. You look that way, it's solid death. Stumps. Because we shut the river off. And if it's so plain to see, why didn't anybody do anything about it? I need help.
You need help.
I need plenty of help. I need these environmental groups to come and get on board and force the Corps of Engineers and help me force them to reintroduce the Mississippi River to these marshes. You know, I cannot fight it by myself, and I have plenty of help in Louisiana, but everybody's got to get involved. It's more important of an environmental disaster than most of the ones that everyone proclaims to be their keepsake.
Yeah.
You know, this is vitally important to the whole country. And something's got to be done now. We can't wait any longer. It's going away more rapidly than I've ever seen.
Well, one other question regarding that is, as well as loss of marshes, we've got loss of a way of life. That was people focused on the summer, some with fishing communities and oyster and shrimp communities. What is your take on that? And also, how despairing is the mood down here right now?
Well, it's happened at such a slow rate of speed that it doesn't get the attention it needs. But and I don't care what your way of life is and what you believe, whether you're liberal or conservative. When you take the number one industry away from Louisiana, South Louisiana, back in the day, used to be trapping. People made their living trapping here. There are no more animals to trap. They're dead. There's no habitat. So instead of yelling and screaming because someone was trapping them, why aren't they yelling and screaming because they're dying because there's no habitat? You know, there was a way of life. That way of life in particular is already gone. Now think about it. You say the way of life or leaving us, that one's gone already. People used to hunt ducks for a living and sell them on the market. Well, now we have processed ducks and all. That way of life is gone. A lot of the ways of life in Louisiana are already gone. And if it keeps going like it's going, there will be no shrimp. And if we don't have shrimpers, guess what? We're not going to have shrimp. And all the crabs that we send up to Maryland every day, about 18 wheels full from here, that's not coming out of the Chesapeake Bay. That comes out of Louisiana. I see the trucks pull away every day. Where are you going, Maryland? The boys like some crab cakes up there, I promise you. It's all coming from here. Best oysters in the world, that's here. When we lose it, when we lose our way of life, the country suffers because our way of life supports everyone else. Yeah. Better get on board.
Yeah.
You ever want to get on board a sinking ship? This ship is sinking.
Well, that was one of the things that struck me is, talk about sinking. When you're down here and you're between the levee and over there, you feel how low you are and you feel it going away. You know.
Yeah, if you lived the life I lived, it's a special feeling to get out there in the morning and have the freedom that I have. Not many people feel what I feel. I don't answer to anybody. I don't work for anybody. You know, my customers, I work for them, but I'm a free man as free as a man could get. And not many people that go to their job every day could feel like that.
Yeah.
And for me not to know that my kids can come and do it because it won't be here, scary.
Why don't we push stop and take a second and